Our God and Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank Thee that in grace and mercy Thou didst send Thine only begotten Son into the world, that He might seek and save the lost. And we understand that this was at His suffering and at the cost of His life, His death, and that it was for us. We humbly thank Thee, and we pray now that by Thy Holy Spirit Thou wilt take the things of the Lord Jesus Christ and show them unto us. For His name's sake we ask it. Amen. In our study of the book of Matthew, we come now in chapter 27 to a portion beginning at verse 39 that I would call one of the bitter aspects of the suffering of the Lord Jesus. We are all prepared to know that He suffered, and we can think in general that that suffering would include His being misunderstood and His being falsely accused and His being opposed here, there, and elsewhere. And finally, as we know, that suffering led to His arrest and to His being falsely accused in court and then being unjustly condemned and finally actually being nailed to the cross. And all of that is severe, and it's mean, and it's bad. But what we're going to read about now, I can only call it bitter. Suppose I read it, and then as I've read it, we will comment upon it. Beginning in chapter 27, the book of Matthew, chapter 27, at verse 39, here is the record. And they that passed by reviled Him, wagging their heads, and saying, Thou that destroyest the temple and buildest it in 3 days, save thyself. If thou be the Son of God, come down from the cross. Likewise also the chief priests, mocking Him with the scribes and elders, said, He saved others, Himself He cannot save. If He be the King of Israel, let Him now come down from the cross, and we will believe Him. He trusted in God, let Him deliver Him now if He will have Him. For He said, I am the Son of God. The thieves also, which were crucified with Him, cast the same in His teeth. This is the story, which shows us that not only did He humbly and patiently die, but He endured shame and insult while He was dying. He who had hurt no one, but actually went about doing good, was not only cruelly killed, but viciously despised. In the whole account that we read, there was not one intimation of self-defense. So far as we know, when He was reviled, He answered not again. And when He was abused and He was made to suffer, He spoke no word. As we look at this, we are impressed first with His love for us. We'll miss this unless we realize that He endured all this for us. He didn't have to do it. He could have escaped it easily. He could have withheld Himself from this. He wouldn't have needed to have come. And you'll remember how Peter suggested days before this, Master, be it far from Thee. But He went through with it. You remember in Gethsemane He said, Father, if this cup pass not from Me, except I drink it, Thy will be done. And why then, He who had done no wrong? Because I had done wrong? This was necessary. And He wanted to save me from my sin. So this was necessary. His love for me, for you, for us, made Him suffer willingly, but suffer cruelly for us. Again, as we look at this, we see the blind foolishness of the human heart. Men will do like this. It was so extra. They didn't need to do this. If they were going to take his life, that would be that, but they did more. They not only took his life, they abused him. The blind foolishness of the human heart. I think I could say to you that this might help us to know what could happen to us. You know, this could happen in your home. This could happen among your friends. This could happen in your family, in your neighborhood. If you were going to walk with the Lord, it could be that people not only would differ with you, they not only would, as it were, vote against you, but they might make you the victim of their sarcasm and their sneers, as they would despise you for no other reason in the world but that you were not doing what they wanted you to do. And then again, this may be our lot as we witness for him. It might be that you and I will have just such experience to face. Now let us look at it even a little more closely. In verse 40, they hurled at him, they threw into his teeth, "Save thyself." This was the temptation that comes from our critics. You could get out of this hot spot if you would just play it our way. It'll come to you many, many times. The suggestion will come to you. If you just change your way a little, if you just change your say-so, if you just fit in with things, they'd let you go. You could save yourself. But if you had in you the Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ, then you will know what they didn't know. This was one thing he could not do. This was what was faced in Gethsemane. If he was going to save me, he could not save himself. And it is to the glory, the everlasting, eternal glory of the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for our sakes he became poor, that through his poverty we might be rich. So he suffered such contradiction of sinners against himself, that you and I might stand in the presence of God and enjoy the favor and the mercy of Almighty God. When they threw into his teeth the words, "If thou be the Son of God, come down from the cross," we can almost recognize here the manner of Satan's temptation. Do you remember how, just after he had been baptized, Satan said, "If thou be the Son of God, make these stones into bread"? It's always the same thing. You could exercise your strength and power to advance yourself. You could get along. Why don't you do it? If you really are the Son of God, use your power now to get yourself off this hook. That sort of thing. And of course, in this temptation, showing complete ignorance of his plan, which was to save me and to save you. This was necessary that we might be saved. Now look at verse 41. And this is a sober idea. "Likewise also the chief priests mocking him with the scribes and elders." I almost feel like telling you, I didn't write that. You know why I say that? For here we find that those who were at the highest level in the religious community, I tell you, this is the record. It was the chief priests, the scribes, and the elders that participated in this mean, nasty sarcasm against the Lord Jesus in his suffering. We should forever remember soberly the peculiar peril which besets all leaders. Perhaps some of you listening just now and hearing these words are properly to be known as leaders, because the chief priests, they were the ecclesiastical dignitaries. If any of us are ministers, I am a minister. If any of us are preachers, I am a preacher. If any of us have responsibility in the church, I have. I have responsibility in the church. I'm one of those. That if you were going to speak about the chief priest of our community, you'd have to name me. Now, the thing for me to realize is that in my position of being one of the honored persons in the church, I have a great temptation to despise the humble suffering of the one who would do the will of God. The scribes were the scholars. Now, this isn't put upon them. This is the truth. They were the scholars. And the elders were the veterans in religious practice. That is to say that the leading people in the religious community despised this procedure of self-denial that was being demonstrated, manifested in the dying of Jesus Christ. And when you look at verses 42 and 43, you have to ask yourself whether they knew what they were doing when they put it this way. If he be the king of Israel, let him now come down from the cross, and we will believe him. Should you and I accept that as true? Did they even know what they were saying? I would call that a dubious offer to believe if some demonstration was made. You can hear it on any street corner, in any living room of any company of people criticizing the Bible, criticizing the church, and they'll tell you, if it was like this, if it was like that, if it was like that, then I would believe. No, you wouldn't. That's all I'd have to say. The Lord came to save, and because he came to save, he would not, shall I say, escape this suffering. Our God and Heavenly Father, add thy blessing to our hearts, and keep us from ever doing anything that would hurt the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank thee for his grace and mercy. Bless us in him for his name's sake. Amen.